There are things in our lives that sometimes don't go the way we want them to go because we just don't fit in the inn, but we fit in a manger.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, December 11th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. This message is entitled, There's Always a Manger. And our text comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So I don't know how many times I've preached in the message, Christmas message, but many times, at least 40 some odd times in the church. And today I would like to go to number 944 or 45, whatever it is. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's a story that deals with the birth of Jesus Christ, and it deals with something that may be appropriate to each one of us. And as we read verse 1 of chapter 2, it's in the following way. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he speak to you, and may he speak to all of us, that the Lord will say something to us this Sunday morning. Amen. This is a statement, especially the last verse we read, is a parable. It's a story of our souls, of our lives, and even the state of our world. There was no room for Jesus in the inn, but there was a manger. And I want you to think that through. There was no room in the inn, but there was room in a manger. Jesus and his parents, Joseph and Mary, are not the only ones to live in a time when there was no room in the inn. We live in a time in which there is no room in the inn for many things. A gentleman by the name of Thomas Merton, who's a spiritual writer, wrote this following. He said, humanity is numbered in billions. Humanity is massed together, marshaled, numbered, marched here and there. Humanity is taxed, drilled, worked to destruction, dazed by information, drugged by entertainment, obsessed by lack of time and lack of space, subject to war and rumors of war, of flaming cities and smoking lands laid waste, the restlessness of turbulent mobs and every day's disaster beyond compare. He wrote that over 50 years ago. He was able to see, had the capacity to discern the signs of the times that stretch far beyond the scope of his own lifetime. He was able to see this. And so the scripture, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let me just tell you that we live in a time where there seems to be no room for being spiritual. No room for being spiritual. Someone said men and women find no room for themselves within themselves. It's a life, well, we used to call it the rat race. I don't know if rats, we can still say that. But it's the rat race. Unable to slow down. Unable to slow down and smell the coffee and look at the roses, our busyness, our obsessions, the lack of time for things, the lack of space. And we move away from our inner heart, inner souls. There is no quiet time anymore. There's this running around all over the place. There is no room for silence. I think that's one of the attractions of Christmas, because we pause and we sing Silent Night and Away in a Manger, and we kind of like slow down a little bit, and we're dazzled and basiled by the time, and we get melancholic and we go deep into our hearts, which is something that should happen all along. But today there is no room for deep thought, contemplation, no time, no space within ourselves to pay attention to what God may be saying. And the capacity to understand God is diminished because of the American way of life. There is no room in the world. There is no room in the inn for quietness and solitude. But there is room in the manger. I want you to understand, there may not be room there, but there's room here. Story of Jesus is a story of inns that close up, where all of a sudden you're not allowed to go in there. There's no room for you here. Christ does not belong here. We don't want Christ involved in this area of our lives or in this area of our society. When mangers are around, you will never have the problem of not finding a place, because mangers is where we major in. In the world, in the inns of the world, we're not going to find it. Christ did not find place in the inn, but he found it in a manger. The manger that became the place of birth, and Jesus, the Redeemer of millions and millions of life. When I reflect upon this, I find out that the manger has the last word in everything in our lives. We don't fit in the inn. There's no room for us as Christians in the world. We are different from the world, not by choice, but by the new birth. We represent something completely different. We represent a new generation of individuals who have known the Lord and we've been born again. And when we try to fit in the inn, we just don't fit in the inn. There is no room for our values. There is no room for our perspective of life. There is no room for living the Christian life. The manger has the last word. Because, the innkeeper could not prevent the birth of Christ. There was no room in the inn, but there was a manger. And you and I can look through the scriptures and we find how the Lord overrules the inns of the world. How sometimes we're slapped with great, difficult, horrific issues in life, but we encounter decisions that need to be made. We encounter difficulties that we can't resolve. Well, think of Joseph, for instance, in the Old Testament, the son of Jacob. His brothers get him. They got jealous of him. Now, he was a little bit proud, but, I mean, they get Joseph. And Joseph is thrown in a ditch, in a well, and then he's sold to slave traders. And they tell his parents, beast killed him, and Jacob cries for the fact that he died and betrayed by his brothers, and the whole nine yards. You know the story. All I can tell you later on, though there was no room in the inn, the Lord opened a manger and he became the most important ruler of Egypt. There are things in our lives that sometimes don't go the way we want them to go because we just don't fit in the inn. But we fit in a manger. I think sometimes of Ahab and Jezebel that try to kill Elisha the prophet. And they wanted to kill him. And so he wanted to know what was going to happen to him. And they ran him out of the palace. And the prophet went into a mountain cave, and in the mountain cave, God spoke to him. And in that cave, Elisha had the last word because he was in a manger and not in the king's palace. Sometimes we are displaced. Sometimes we go through things in life. Life has a lot of closed ends, but they don't have the last word in your life. If Christmas is anything, is this. That there's newness of life, that all things have become new, that there's a new way of looking at life and living life. The Christmas spirit is that even when you and I are disappointed in life, there's a manger waiting for Christ to be born. So we suffer rejection and we suffer disappointments. What else is new in our lives? Some people are disappointed because of love. And I'm not talking about puppy love. I'm talking about love. Sometimes we're rejected because of a job. Family members who turn against us. All of a sudden, our strong physical body, all of a sudden, is not doing too well lately, falling asleep. Great illustration. I couldn't pass it up. But we all go through things. I was going through, and you know, it's no secret. I told Loretta today, I think I'm getting too old for all of this. And she says, I'm telling my legs not to think. But see, in spite of all of that, there is a place of rest, a place of restitution, a place of peace, a place of purpose, a place of design, because you don't have the last word, neither does the innkeeper. Jesus has the last word in your life. Closed doors don't need to be the final word in your life. Look at the issues that you're facing today. Look at the difficulties that you may be facing and decisions that you need to make. I want you to know, my brothers, that the Christian faith allows you and affirms you just like Joseph and Mary. Allow God to work in your life. Beyond the closed door of the inn, you will see a manger where Christ will be born. In the midst of your difficulty, Christ is born. So there is that new manger waiting for you. Brighter perspective in life. Great challenges for your life that you will be able to win. A new shape is taking place in your life. A new place of rest is coming to you, because that's really what it is. The story of Christmas, when the Lord works in your life. You say, yeah, but the door to the inn is locked. I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that, and it's just locked. Yeah, it could very well be locked. Maybe the light in the manger, as you see it, may be dim. You say, aye, there, this, what? In the straw, with sheep and goats and smelly stuff, is that, yeah, that's where you may need to be and where you may need to experience the redemption of the Lord. Don't wrestle or fight God's hand upon you. Allow the straw and the goats and the sheep and everything around you, allow them to be the manger where Christ will flourish in your life. God does things unexpectedly in places that you don't even know it's possible. We think that God is going to move when everything is good, that God is going to give you the desires of your heart in a way in which your surroundings are just beautifully well kept. No, it's from the pit. It's when you are down there that the Lord comes and pushes you up. It is not in the ends of the world, but in humble mangers, surrounded by the strangest companions. So when you look at Scripture and you go through history itself, the Lord breaks through our lives and picks us up in the hardest places possible. We can ask ourselves the question, where am I today? And I'm asking you that question. Where are you today? Maybe you came in this rainy day. You came because you came, but you feel like you're not doing it. You're not where you want to be. You find that life's ends have permanently closed, that your ideals, your hopes, your dreams seem to be shattered. They're closed to you. And you say, that door will never, ever, ever open again. And you know what? You may be right. But I urge you to make room for the birth of Christ where you are. For Christ to come alive where you are. Not to wait to a place where you think you're going to get to, but from where you are, the Lord will be birthed in your life. Of course, I'm speaking in figures and parables, but I just want you to know that there's a power greater than yourself to whom to turn to. And it doesn't matter where you are or what's been going on in your life. The God of the manger is there to see that Christ is born in spite of. So sometimes we should be thankful for the smelly straw. We should be thankful for the bleh of the goats or the sheep. We should be thankful for the rejection of the world's answers. We should be thankful that there's nothing more than just you and God. And then you say to the Lord, here I am, Lord, work in my life. You have the Lord that will help you take life's close ends and transforms them. He gives you a new vision, a new vista. He gives you, he takes the issues that you're facing this morning, and though they seem to be the ones to condemn you, those will be the issues that will make you into the child that God has decided for you to be before the foundations of the world. We're talking about a God who is sovereign but works with us. Talking about a God who gives us opportunities. A God who says, yeah, there may not be room in the inn, which may be a good thing, by the way, as I've said, but there's room in the manger. God has a plan for your life. And if things are not working out for you, just be thankful for the manger, because Jesus will be born in that area of your life. And that is what changes everything. So you have a Lord who will help you take life's closed ends and transform them into great victories in your life. And this morning, I want you to understand that, because there comes a time, as the verse says, and when the time came for Mary to deliver, she gave birth to her firstborn son and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. And this is the story of Christmas and the story of your life. There's going to come a time for Christ to be born in your life. And he will be born in that situation that you least expect it to be probable or comfortable or good. But he will be born. He will be born. And this is why we always believe that the Lord has a way of making all things shine for his glory. We say often, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. We fail sometimes to acknowledge that some of those things are not so nice. We sometimes fail to understand that what we go through, those are difficult moments. And it's not until you go through a difficult moment that you try to wrestle with that scripture and say, how is this going to work for good? He will make it work for good. Because he does not work in the inn, he works in the manger. Amen. And you take it away from the possibilities of your own reasoning powers, and you ask the Lord to have his way, and then step back and see the Lord work in your life. Thank you, Lord. So it is the unconquerable faith of Christmas to say he was born in a manger. He was not born in the inn. And there is no wonder that so many sing the Christmas story, that so many have been inspired to sing about the success and the glory of Christmas. Such an innocent activity, having a child, and yet he was the Son of God who came to redeem the world. You know, sometimes you wonder, where were you born? And you know, all of us want to be born in a nice place, prestigious place. Well, we don't think that when we're being born, but we would like to look back and say, look where I was born. Christ was a humble birth, very humble birth. And yet he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, so we're going to sing a Christmas carol now. Actually, I'm going to ask Jennifer to sing. It's a song that speaks to our heart. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Merry Christmas to all. Let me tell you, I want you to listen to the words, to the song, and ask yourself, why am I so obsessed with the inn when I have a manger? Why am I so obsessed with trying to fit the Lord in a place where he doesn't fit? The Lord is working in your manger, and that's where you should be, and that's where you should rejoice and see the Lord work miracles in your life. Shall we stand? We're thankful to the Lord for working in our lives and for understanding that he works where we are, where we are. I want you to know that. I want you to take that home with you, that there is a manger. There's a manger. There's a manger. There's a manger. There's a manger. Church, in spite of the rain, this is the day. Thank the Lord for the rain. Yes, yes. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We'll see you in the social hall.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.